Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
here's a little secret with what I do at the Rod Peterson Show, and I've made a career of it. I don't care whether you like me or you don't like me, but when you watch my show, I just want you to feel something.
How about that?
Whether you're happy or you're sad or you're angry or you're proud, I just want you to feel something. Because a lot of times you'll read a column or watch a show and say, meh. That's never been the hallmark of what I do. I want to make you think. I want to make you feel something. And it's worked. And if you don't agree with me, I'll be fine.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the RP Show. I want to say good morning, Canada, although I do have viewers checking in from around the world. I see my former co-worker, Tammy Bissett, says good morning from sunny Calgary.
Ooh.
Howdy, Calgary, and all our friends there. I'll get to your comments. We're waking up. Well, we've been woken up for a while.
Yeah.
RP here, DD there. I see you're wearing a Saskatchewan Rush lacrosse shirt today. How about that?
Awfully timely.
What's the deal with that?
Well, you know, you wrote on Twitter about your favorite teams. I haven't replied yet. I'm still thinking. It's a hard thing to think about, your top five favorite
sports teams.
That's
why I did it.
But I saw this on the rack this morning, like in the closet,
yeah.
And I'm like, it's one of my favorite teams, so I'll wear it.
That's point three that I'll get to in moments on your top five favorite sports teams. But I'll get to all the good mornings. They're coming in like crazy today. I'll try to get to when we have time. I got to tell you what's coming up on the show today. A lot of curling talk already, so get your rocks ready. We're going to be joined by Devin Heroux from CBC Toronto. He is now, the next Vic Router?
Yeah.
He might be more popular than Vic Router on the curling scene right now, and I'm not even joking a little bit. He's the one that broke the news about the Calgary bubble coming your way for the Canadian Championships. He said he's got more curling news to drop today. Devin Heroux will be with us in hour one. Alan Cameron, the ageless Alan Cameron, formerly of the Calgary Herald, now the top communications PR guy for Curling Canada. He's going to be with us in hour two. For years, he covered the Calgary Stampeders for the Calgary Herald, and I called him the West Division's AC because the East had Anthony Calvillo. We in the West had Alan Cameron. He always kind of enjoyed that, but he's with curling now, and he'll be with us in hour two when we go to Game TV. And Taylor Shire, he's sitting on the casting couch right now. Taylor Shire, Global's Taylor Shire, is going to be with us, and he's got some interesting news to drop as well. We're going to talk about all these topics with Taylor Shire coming up. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Okay, hit it, Jordan, please. Quick six show topics. Number one, the great Darren Dreger, the pride of Langenberg, Saskatchewan, reporting on TSN now that the NHL owners and the players have swept aside their differences and they're ready to play. I haven't delved into the articles on this. Have you at all?
Only a little bit.
We're headline readers, right? What's the headline? They've put their money issues aside, and the NHL will be starting on January 13th.
That's right.
So I have, I'm not trying to hook you. I haven't read that deep either.
No.
But
those are the details, right? They want to get going on the 13th of January, which would mean training camps, you know, opening probably right after Christmas, is my guess. They'd open right after Christmas in time to be ready. Doesn't leave you a lot of room for error.
Well, I got to say, though, I see Katie Fleury writing in. She says, I've missed everyone. I love that news. I think we all love that news, that there will be an NHL season. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And I've said it many times, I'm still hearing February 1st. And if you watch SportsCenter, right at the end, Natasha Stanishevsky said last night, well, we're still hearing February 1st too. And I'm like, over here, have you been reading my blog, Natasha? So I think February 1st is still on the table, but Dreger is going with January 13th. And in this instance, I'll be very happy to be wrong. Did you work in Saskatoon when Natasha was there?
No. No, we missed her. We didn't cross paths.
You just missed her then.
Just missed her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was very popular. Everybody liked her there at CTV Saskatoon. So that's the number one issue. These are the number one issues as importance to me. Moving on to point two. At some point today, the Lou Marsh Award winner will be named. And for our American viewers, and by the way, I saw Michael Gregory checking in from New Orleans. He's a born and raised American. He wouldn't probably know, and there's Tim from Kansas, that the Lou Marsh Award goes annually to the Canada's Athlete of the Year, male or female. So I'm expecting to get a notification, Darren, at any minute. And if it drops while we're on the air, we'll cut into our programming.
Perfect.
And announce it. It's our poll question, and you can vote if you're watching on Facebook. It's already popped up in your face to vote on our four options. And those options are, you guys can put them on the screen if you want. I came up with these. Chase Claypool, Alphonso Davies, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and Jamal Murray. And kind of what got me thinking about this was Noogsy texted me last night, and he said, who would be yours? And I said, Chase Claypool, right away. Well, Noogsy is more of a soccer guy, so he said Alphonso Davies. And let's just remember something. Soccer got back first, and Alphonso Davies was doing great things in Europe. It's soccer, but Chase Claypool is making a late run. And don't at me that I'm not voting for Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs and then decided not to play this year because he wanted to go work on the front lines. It's not the Humanitarian of the Year award. It's for the Athlete of the Year award. So take your heart out of it for Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. Listen, he's going to get his awards and his plaudits. Maybe he'll win the Humanitarian of the Year award.
He might win the Lou Marsh,
too. But this is for the greatest Canadian. For winning a Super Bowl? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But you're not on the Chase Claypool bandwagon?
I'm not. Not yet.
How dare you?
He's not. Okay. That's fair. I'm actually on the Laurent Duvernay-Tardif bandwagon. That's where my vote goes.
It's not the Humanitarian of the Year.
No,
Darren.
But you know what's he doing as an athlete, right? It still counts. He's still an athlete, and I think he's the Athlete of the Year. I think Alphonso Davies is my number two, and Claypool's third on my ballot. And I've heard this, you know, the soccer aficionados on Twitter talking about Alphonso Davies and all his accomplishments, and they've kind of listed them. And Kevin Jesus, who's, I guess, one of Taylor's, I don't know if you guys ever worked at Global at the same time when he was in Saskatoon, but he was there, and now he's CTV Edmonton. He's a huge soccer fan. I think Portugal, he'll kill me if I get it wrong. I think he's a big Portugal guy. But he said if Alphonso Davies doesn't win this year, a soccer player will never win. If it's not happening now, based on all the accomplishments Alphonso Davies has had, then a soccer player will never win the award.
Our Navy friend Don Mitchell's checking in from Bahrain, and he says Davies took Bundesliga by storm this year. If it is all Greek to me, what did you just say? Davies took Bundesliga by storm this year. I have no idea what that means. Can you put subtitles on the bottom of the screen?
It's when you knock on the door and they want the password. Davies took Bundesliga.
What the hell? I'm aware, Clark. I know it's the German league. I know I'm making it funny.
I'll have the New England clam chowder.
Yeah, so listen, you got Kevin DeJesus in Edmonton. That's how I thought you said his name. Stoking the fire for Alphonso Davies and everybody else. Can I stick up for the football guy? You need backing. This is a poll. This is a vote. So you need some support. So mine is for Chase Claypool, who incidentally tied an NFL Super Bowl era record with 10 touchdowns in his first 10 games by a rookie.
Big deal.
That didn't count for anything. So
counts for third place.
As our viewers have checked in and said, it's the face-off, and we didn't even know
it. We didn't even know it.
Got that out of the way early. Hit it, boys. Nice work. The face-off is for the Mad Greek and Moose Jaw. It's all Greek to me. It's good. The best authentic Greek cuisine available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery. Head to the madgreekeatery.com for more information. And Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel. They are your officially licensed fan store, if I can read the card here, in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, which is another thing that I'm not getting into, by the way. Somebody emailed me yesterday and said, does Ultimate Fan Zone have NCAA apparel? I don't know. What do I look like? Lining people up with restaurants in PA and now what they sell at the Ultimate Fan Zone? Call them! Not going down that road. Point three. Thank you, Rog Rant, for Bronco Plumbing and Heating. Man, we're just hiking our skirt up, aren't we?
Sizzling.
We'll
today.
Sell anything. Anything on this show. Point three. My top five teams. So last night, I was cleaning up around the house, and I just in my mind, I was thinking, I don't know how it came up, but like who my top five teams are. And I came up with them, and I thought I'm going to put it on Twitter. So I did. to say it went viral, right? More than two retweets.
Oh yeah,
like a lot.
200 replies or more.
Yeah. So I put that on Twitter last night, and here they are. The number one's the Regina Pats. Number two's the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Number three is the Golden Knights. Number four is the Edmonton Oilers. And number five is the Toronto Blue Jays. And to my shock and awe, the Blue Jays responded with that gif right there of Leo DiCaprio. The Toronto Blue Jays. You saw my response.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Jays Care Foundation has been a big fan of the show, putting alumni
That's right.
on, which has been really cool. And now the Jays have bought into it a little bit. They love seeing it, and that's cool, right? You have to touch base and connect
it's
with your
fans. It's the personal touch.
Yeah, it matters.
Now, wow, the Blue Jays are rocketing up the list fast. But here's the funny thing. Here's what I agonized over. I was very solid on the top four. The fifth, I agonized over the Dallas Cowboys, the Saskatchewan Rush, or the Blue Jays. And I went with the national historic feel. Canadian, been around the longest on my radar, and that's why I went with number five, and lo and behold, the Blue Jays responded. I noticed you didn't respond.
It's a tough poll.
That's the whole idea.
It's a really, really tough
makes you think
question, and I got four, and I don't know, and I'd have to think about my fifth. The Jays would be my fourth.
Okay.
They'd be number four behind the Riders, the Leafs, and the Titans. I got to think about the fifth.
You got to put your Blades in there.
I was thinking about that, too, that I got to probably put the Blades at number five, but I also have big ties with the Huskies. And so I kind of go back and forth between Blades and Huskies, where does my support go? And it's kind of split. So maybe it's a 5A, 5B. But yeah, probably Blades number five.
To point four, the CFL news from yesterday. Interesting news. Now, in Edmonton, they extended the general manager, Brock Sunderland. That's not a surprise. He hasn't done anything to get fired. And I guess that's it. He did nothing to get fired, so you have to extend his contract, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He inherited a coach, so he fired a coach. And Jason Maas hired Scott Milanovic, and it sure as hell isn't Brock Sunderland's fault that the CFL didn't play this year. So, yeah, that was not a non-story because it's a very big story to Brock Sunderland, but to us, not as big as the BC story.
Right.
Yeah, and everybody's talking about the co-GM announcement in BC, and I still haven't quite figured out why they would do that. Like, if you want to give the job to Neil McAvoy, he deserves it. He's a good guy. He knows where the bodies are buried. He knows CFL business. And give it to him. The only reason I could think they tagged Rick Campbell as the co-GM is so they didn't have to give either guy a raise. That's the only thing I could think about. I see some of the pundits are hammering on the Lions for making this decision. I say run your team however you want. Just go out and win, which is something the BC Lions haven't been able to do since 2011. I know you've been pretty busy in the last 24 hours since we went off the air. Have you thought anything about this more or no?
No, again, it's a title, right? Inside the organization, you know who's running the football team, and you know what responsibilities go where. I think it's fine. Where do you assign blame when things don't go right? You know, how much is Rick Campbell?
That's a tough. They'll know.
They'll know internally.
They'll know.
They'll know internally. Yeah. But when you started to take criticism from the guys like you and I, and the Farhans and the Nailers and the Dunks, that'll be part of it. But I think they're fine with it. If they win, they'll be okay. If they lose, then it'll be an issue.
Again, the proof is in the pudding, whatever that means. I have no idea. But you'd better win. That's it. And nobody's going to criticize you. Nobody is really criticizing the Ed Hervey, Wally Buono awkwardness of that situation. Because Wally's gone now. If he was still there, you probably would be criticizing it. But I remember Hillside and Banff, where Wally and Ed Hervey both explained to me why they went with that kind of awkward back-assward thing. And now Wally's gone. So there are those that fear for the future of the BC Lions. And those aren't just Lions fans. Like I say, I hope for the best for everyone. Rob Williamson writes in regarding our poll. He said, if you look at outside of sport, look at what Alphonso Davies worked with the UN regarding refugees. It is not the Humanitarian of the Year trophy. It's for the best on-field exploits. Otherwise, they have community work awards. That's not what this is. Or have I completely missed the boat on what the Lou Marsh Award is for? Like Bianca Andreescu last year, slam dunk.
Slam dunk.
No doubter.
Right. No, absolutely. It's interesting because of the statement of the award, too, this year and everything that's going on. And it's fairly political, you know, with where you lie on the pandemic, right, and the lockdowns and what should be allowed and what shouldn't and how serious are we taking it and how serious we shouldn't. So it's a bit of a statement to look at that. But you're right. It's not exactly a humanitarian award. I think if you can match it with excellence, but I think it has to be a slam dunk with what you did on the field. And I think when you look at what Claypool's done, you look at Alphonso Davies, what he's done, and you look at what, you know, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif did winning a Super Bowl, I think they're all there. What can separate them? That's up to each voter. And I think, you know, then some of that humanitarian stuff does play into it when you look at the extras.
We got a lot of topics on the table today. I was wondering how we got through 4 months of no sports back in the summer. Now I'm realizing how. Stuff like this.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. But Monty in Saskatoon. You know Monty.
We know Monty.
He says, Huskies, Blades, Riders, Rush, Las Vegas. I am assuming he's talking about the Golden Knights.
Yeah, I don't think he's a Raiders fan.
So, yeah. Robin in Prince Albert says, has Claypool won a championship? Robin, don't ask questions you know the answer to. He's in his rookie year. What the hell's that got to do with anything? So you're on the Super Bowl winning team? Is this not for individual sporting performances? And again, I'm not saying I'm right, but I am telling you how I feel, which you get every day for 2 hours. And very quickly, point five, Thursday night, I put TNF. It's Tuesday night football. The Dallas Cowboys, watch them lose at the Baltimore Ravens tonight. 3-8, America's team against 6-5 Ravens, 7 o'clock Central kickoff. I'm actually looking forward to the game. Something to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I had left point six blank, but I filled it in, kind of finding out what's going on with the Houston Rockets situation and James Harden not showing up to their training camp. The coach, Steven Silas, doesn't know where he is. The owner of the team, Tillman Furtado, is going broke. Apparently, he's taking ownership of the Houston Rockets public. I don't know if you've heard this or not. You can buy a share of the Houston Rockets. I think, what would it be, the first IPO of a pro sports team?
That I can.
This is a little bit of what I caught driving in today, listening to Levitard. So we're going to delve into this a little more. But you remember that day we went for lunch in Houston with George Cortez, and I said to him, who owns the Rockets? And the way George talks, Tillman Fertitta. And then he went into the whole story. Well, the guy's now broke. But why James Harden can't show up for camp, I'm not sure. We'll delve into it. Maybe Taylor Shire knows. We'll get into that and more when we come back. The warm-up is always brought to you by the Four Seasons Sports Palace, Saskatchewan's oldest sports bar and original. Your home for the NFL. We'll see you in a while, dupes.
Yeah, sounds good.
Taylor Shire next. It's the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Welcome back to the program, everybody. Canada's daytime sports talk show coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. There were a few topics that we didn't get to in the warm-up because we ran out of time. One is yesterday's rock star of the day was Craig Button. He was just outstanding. That was his first appearance on the RP Show. Longtime friend of our family. Known him since I was 15 years old. Rock star of the day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. Today's guests, Taylor Shire, Devin Haru, and Alan Cameron from Curling Canada. By the way, we've got our bracket running to name the Edmonton football team. You can vote on our Instagram polls. We've got the bracket right here to my right, your left. And already winning in round one, the Empire have advanced. The Elk have advanced. And as of the last 24 hours, the Eagles beat the Escargot. And the Edmonton Elite beat in a vote of viewers the Edmonton Football Club. So they've moved on to round two. I will be posting after the show today today's other round one battles. The Energy, the Edmonton Energy versus the Edmonton Rush. Little nostalgia there. And the Edmonton Express versus the Bears. And by the time this is done, we'll have the team named and the Edmonton Club doesn't have to worry about it. We will have it handled. Welcome back to the bunker, everybody. Taylor Shire, our director of officiating, star of Global Regina. How you doing, Taylor?
I'm doing fantastic.
But said it's been a while since you've been under the lights.
Yeah.
Hey, what's life been like for you?
Just plugging away at Global, finding those with no sports going on right now. It's been challenging, but we've been making it work, finding one-off stories because everyone's still training. Yeah. Everyone's still working towards their specific sport. So we've been finding a few stories here and there. A Saskatchewan official going to officiate the World Juniors, or
Terry Wyonzik.
Terrington Wyonzik, yeah. So that was a good story I put together last week. Just kind of plugging away, waiting for sports to come back.
No kidding. Right? Well, actually, I'd said in our morning meeting, Taylor came in the middle of it, that said, I'm not sure I had you in during the pandemic. And as you did, because I remember this summer you said, well, just waiting for Rough Rider football. And that didn't come back either. So we got a lot of things to get to here with our director of officiating, Taylor Shire, which, if I'm not mistaken, hockey is your mother tongue, right?
Yeah,
you're like
correct.
Me. That's your first thing. So we'll get to that and we'll get to football. But you do have some news. Can we talk about that?
Sure. Yeah.
This is exciting.
Earlier in the pandemic, one conversation led to another conversation, and I was fortunate enough to be brought on by Link Management, an athlete agency. They're based out of Edmonton. They were looking to expand and have a little bit more presence in Saskatchewan. We already have a few clients in the area. So Manny Schmidt, our CEO, we had a conversation, and it seemed like a good fit to bring me on as one of the associate advisors in Saskatchewan. So dealing with a lot of clients here, scouting, anywhere from U15 up through some of the pro guys. So that's kind of how I've been filling a lot of my evenings and weekends over the last few months, and that's been a lot of fun.
I think from now on I'm going to be calling you, show me the money! You're an agent now.
I'm getting there. I'm an associate advisor, I guess is my title right now, working to become an agent. I've always been interested in the agency side of things. Even before I got into broadcasting, that was kind of one of the dreams was, hey, be the next Jerry Maguire or whatever. But now that I'm kind of into it, it's really the opposite. I kind of want to be behind the scenes, and I want all the spotlight and everything to be on my athletes and my guys and get them out in front of wherever and, help market them, help advocate for them, help get them exposure.
Well, I saw it on LinkedIn and I was excited for you. I didn't realize it was a sideline thing. I thought you're going all in whole hog. So that to be able to do both, it's the best of both worlds. And just hang on. Mandy in Edmonton's watching regarding the poll. She says, ooh, it looks like Empire and Elk will be in round two together. Don't mess this up, people. The bracket is exciting. It clearly is very exciting. And Todd Pinckney, one of our viewers, wants to know what sports your athletes are in.
Mostly just hockey. So I'm in the hockey division with Link Management. So that's where my focus is. That's my bread and butter. That's kind of what I know, hockey. So whether it's helping 14-year-olds get ready for the Bantam draft or helping a 25-year-old find a pro opportunity in the States or in Europe, that's kind of what I'm dealing with. We do have football divisions, but our bread and butter is definitely hockey.
Well, good for you. Good for you. I've poked around that line of work years ago. Gotten to know Lee Steinberg, as you know, the original Jerry Maguire. And one thing I know, it's not Jerry Maguire life. It's not necessarily glamorous, right?
Yeah.
It's long hours. It's a lot of travel. But I know your work ethic, so I know that you'll be great at it. So kudos. Now, back to the sports, just to be honest, I don't think what's going on in this market here in the sweatpants capital is any different than any other market in terms of athletes staying ready. So tell me a little bit about the coverage you've done. What are the stories you're hearing from the athletes, the teams, while they sit in this pause?
Everyone's just staying patient. And that's the thing, nobody knows. Even talking with John Paddock last week with the Pats, he doesn't know necessarily more than we do. He's in some of the meetings and whatnot, but nobody knows. The Western Hockey League doesn't even know at this point if they can get going. And we're used to being kind of kept in the dark sometimes with some of those meetings that are happening behind the scenes, whether it's the WHL, the CFL, whatever it is. Sometimes we're left in the dark and they want to handle things behind closed doors. But I don't even think the CFL really knows at this point if they can play. And I think the athletes I've been talking to, even speaking with Connor Bedard, he's back in Canada now last week. Just staying patient, getting ready. One of the top hockey players, one of the top young hockey players in Canada. He's in the same situation as all of us. Just
as everybody. Yep. Listen, I apologize for the ADD that we have here, but just the viewers writing in. Roy Stasiak, who I believe now is one of the top scouts with the Tri-City Americans, if not the top bird dog of the Tri-City Americans, writes in, watching from Edmonton. So good morning, Rodeo Roy. You might remember him from his years with the Toronto Maple Leafs as a scout. Another head scout texted me here, and I'll send you this after our interview. Feel free to give Taylor my number. More than happy to help him out in any way that I can. So clearly that's the kind of reaction you've gotten from the sports people.
Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, if anyone does want to reach out to me, I do have several clients in the area. And I mean, we have clients all over Western Canada. So just in terms of having an initial conversation, just sit down and shoot the breeze. Feel free to reach out to me, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn.
You're not hard to find.
Whatever. I'm pretty easy to find. Just Google me quickly and you'll be able to find me and reach out. I'd love to hear from any scouts or any clients that out there that want to, you know, have a conversation and think about being represented by Link Management and kind of hearing what we have to offer. We're a bit of a different service agency, and I think whoever can sit down and have a conversation will realize what sets us apart and what we do to help our athletes.
The more I talk to you, I'm realizing how extra exciting this is, because I know in the broadcasting game, if you were sitting around waiting for something to cover, it's just like Groundhog's Day. But in this agency business, it's not. And I would like to know what your young players are thinking in terms of missing a year of development and potentially 2 years. Like, the sports is coming back. We all know that. Mm-hmm. But there's a small, short window. And how concerned are they that they're going to miss their chance?
Well, I think that's where we come in, is we let them focus on their training. We'll do the advocating. We'll be the advisor for them. We'll help get their name out there by talking to scouts, talking to teams and whatnot. And we'll just let them focus on training, because it is getting to a lot of people, whether you're 14 or 25, right? I mean, it's affecting all my clients in one way or another. So that's kind of what I want to take off of them, is you just focus on training. You just wait for the go-ahead to get back on the ice. I'll deal with all the other stuff in terms of exposure for the Bantam draft, finding an opportunity over in Europe, whatever it might be. That's kind of what I'm hearing from them, is that they just want to focus on their training, because it can take over your brain pretty
well. Quickly. It does. And I feel like this is just you and me out for coffee. Like, forget about everybody that's watching, but I think they're all part of this conversation too. But my point on that is I'm hearing from so many people now in sports, and I'm talking, they've just now filled up my inbox 9-10 months into this. I'm going crazy. I'm losing it. I don't know what I'm going to do. And my first two questions are you safe? And are your finances good? Yep. Yep. Then what the hell are you worried about? But for whatever reason, now people are really getting cagey. I don't know if they're afraid that they're going to lose their jobs or what, but it was like they were okay, Taylor, up until about now. And they're really starting to freak out. And the fact is, nothing's changed.
Well, March was a lot different. The lockdown in March is a lot different than what it is now, because it was sort of new back then, and then it loosened off in the summer, but now we're sort of clamping down. Yeah. However, it seems like there's light at the end of the tunnel now, with the, you know, all the vaccine announcements. Whether that's the be-all end-all of this, we'll see, but it's challenging for everybody.
Well, believe me, this is what I think about folks when I leave here, these types of things. And this summer, it was kind of a novelty, right? People were growing their hair long and growing a beard, and you could go to the lake and you could go golf. Like, this isn't so bad. And now it's getting cold. You still don't really have a job, and it's a grind. Like, it's gotten more real than ever for a lot
of
people.
What I try to tell a lot of people, and even what I tell myself, it's all about perspective, right? Think about your situation and think about other people's situations who are losing loved ones, or loved ones in the hospital, or you know, being a frontline healthcare worker. Like, you have to put your situation into perspective and realize that your situation is important, but you have to have that perspective that it's not just about you and you're not the only one in that situation.
That's the number one thing right there.
And I think that that'll, you know, you'll find more peace in that.
But also, if you're bored, I'll give you a list of things to do. You know what I mean? Because I hear that
100%,
more than anything. Colin in Ottawa is watching. He says, does Taylor scout hockey referees or linesmen? Hint, NHL needs to hire the referees that have the guts to call a 5-minute major and eject players like the CHL refs do. Well, I can probably answer that for Taylor, but he is our director of officiating. He knows more refs than I do. But they scout themselves. Isn't Stephen Walken the guy that's in charge of all development for officials?
Yeah, there's a pipeline system from minor hockey right through the NHL where they have a system. It's not really about, because there's one team to work for, right? You're kind of exactly. working up the ranks. You're not picking and choosing what team you officiate for. So I don't think any referee has an agent. So
no.
But why? I would have a bunch of clients if they did.
Maybe they're onto something. Because you've done it. You are an ordained SHA official, yeah. right? And you've got all the certification yeah. and yeah. everything. So maybe we're on to something. I mean, I talk to referees all the time. One of which is Terrington yeah. Wyonzik, Terry, who had told me he was going to the World Juniors. This guy's got the world by the tail. And there are two other referees, right, from Saskatoon area yeah. that are going to the World Juniors. So that's exciting. I do have to ask you, because you're still on the sports beat, you're yep. still in the media, you know, you say there's some light at the end of the tunnel. We see Bonnie Henry in BC, their top medical doctor, saying maybe they're going to relax these restrictions January 8th. I see Western Hockey League broadcasters saying, that's the exact same day we're supposed to start playing. You know, there's that. And then the CFL announcing staffs, GMs, a schedule. So do you think that's just trying to stay positive, or that they actually think in these leagues that they're going to be playing in 2021?
I think it's all positivity, and they're just trying to, even with the schedule announcement that the CFL put out, they're just trying to be positive, because really nobody knows. Yeah. We could have a huge, it could go the opposite way, right? It could be way negative over these next few weeks, and Christmas could put a, you know, big spike into COVID numbers, right? And then all of a sudden we're shut down even more than we are right now. Or it could go the other way and we are opened up by January 8th. But I think everybody, leagues, teams need to be flexible and understand that things can change in the fly, whether it's a Western Hockey League team having players come in for the 26th of December. That probably won't happen at this point, so they need to be flexible. And the league probably knows that they need to be flexible as well and offer up a you know, 2 weeks at a time, maybe keep bumping it back 2 weeks at a time.
Do you think that leagues and teams are saying this to keep the spirits up? Like, is there a concern that if it's the carpet's pulled out and we're totally locked down, what about the letdown then? Are they concerned about that, do you think?
No, I don't think so, because I think eventually we will be back up and running, right? And so everybody is sort of seeing that light at the end of the tunnel. However long that tunnel is, I think eventually we will be back. All the sports will be back. It'll all look normal eventually. Whether or not we can have 30,000 people in a stadium by June, we'll see. But I think even, you know, hockey to football, I don't think there's that disappointment. I think everybody is in the same boat, and everybody knows it will be.
That's what they need to be reminded of. Everybody needs to be reminded of that. And by the way, can you put the comment up, guys, from Roy from the Tri-City Americans? He says, ask the young athletes to focus on remaining safe, healthy, and academically achieving. No age group will be forgotten or left behind. And it will be up to organizations and associations to come up with solutions and contingencies. Athletes and parents can only control what's in their realms. Thank you, Roy. And it's another way of saying what Taylor said way back at the start of this for those young athletes. Go back and rewind and watch that too. But Taylor, are you good to stick around for another segment with Devin Haru?
Sure.
You can talk some curling, right? You can get your curling on.
Of course.
You rep curlers?
I don't. Not yet, anyway. Maybe
you
can
have everybody. We'll be back with Devin Haru from the CBC with some curling talk. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Tuesday morning get-together out here in Western Canada continues. Taylor Shire with us here from Global Regina. And I got to write this down and get it right. Link Sports Management?
Link Management.
He's going to stick with us for a while, and he knows our next guest. Devin Haru joins us from CBC. And we could say CBC Toronto, but he's national, of course, Saskatoon guy, and it looks like he's in the jungle. How you doing, Devin?
Good morning to you both. I am in the jungle because I got my plant here right behind me. All good here in Toronto on lockdown, me and my plants. This is a new reality.
Oh, I know. We've been following for quite some time. Listen, you saw our thing about our top five sports teams of all time, and you wanted to chime in with at least one of yours. What do you got, Devin?
Team Sandra Schmirler, right? I mean, and this is sort of the staggering thing, and I got in a little bit of a Lou Marsh debate late last week about the fact that no curler has ever won
the Lou Marsh Award over all the years, which I find shocking. I know we talk about the fact that it's for individuals and not teams, but I mean, look at all the hockey players. I think it's a fact that people can't wrap their head around curlers not having the individual stats like goals or touchdowns or things like that. But you, I mean, Roddy, if you look at a curler's percentage, and if you look at Team Schmirler, for example, Sandra Schmirler wins 3 Scotties, 3 World Championships, never lost an international event from 93 to 98, capped off with Olympic gold, didn't even get a sniff, didn't even get nominated in all of those years. I think it's a travesty, and so it's about time a curler wins this award. But Team Sandra Schmirler, top on my list, no doubt.
I love it. And as you, anybody that knows curling knows that there are stats. There has been now for some time. So I guess they need a person like you to push that curling thing. And maybe not for this year, because frankly, I'm saying Chase Claypool, and not many people are agreeing with me on that. But anyways, you did join us to talk about curling. How, are you going to be in the bubbles in that 6 weeks in 2021? Or what's your role?
Yeah, so it seems like every time we talk, there's breaking news. And about 5 minutes ago, I just posted our latest story to CBC Sports. I received a leaked copy of what life will be like in the bubble. And what we're learning, pretty harsh repercussions if any curler or coach, anybody who doesn't have clearance, Roddy, if they leave the bubble, not only will that entire team be disqualified, they won't be allowed to curl competitively in Canada until July 2022. Curling Canada, not messing around with this. If you leave the bubble, you will not be representing Canada at the Olympics. If you were to make that team and you were disqualified, you're not curling at the Olympics because you're suspended from competitive play until July 2022. As for media, so here's the thing, what I just spelled out, you can read the stories on a story on CBC Sports. There are 3 zones: a green zone, a blue zone, and a red zone. Green zone, you can walk basically wherever you want. That's for the curlers, basically to go from the hotel to the arena. Then the red zone, it's kind of for the the media or the volunteers. That would be like me. You won't really get any access to any of the curlers, like a face-to-face interview. This will all sort of be virtual. So we're getting a clearer picture of what life in the bubble will be like. It is going to be incredible. 6 weeks, you know, Curling Canada has taken a lot of heat over the past week for making this announcement in Calgary with the COVID cases spiking. But listen, the NHL and the NBA, they did the bubbles with great success. They have billions of dollars, all the resources in the world. We're talking about a national sport organization, which on the best of days are put together with duct tape and string. And now you have Curling Canada endeavoring to do this. I think it's outstanding that they're trying to pull this off. Doing it in Calgary, obviously, is going to bring some skeptics, but Curling Canada, not messing around. If you leave that bubble, you're out, and you're going to be off the bench for a couple of years at least.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're talking about a minimum, about a 1-year suspension from Curling Canada, but good for you. Like, believe me, I got friends that were in the NHL bubble that said, they're like, Rod, it's not a bubble. It's a virtual bubble. You go back and forth on a bus that's, you know, COVID clear, and you're staying in a hotel that's COVID clear. And I would assume Calgary's the same. But what is it about curling specifically, Devin, in your mind that makes it the ability to pull this off? Because football, they haven't been able to figure a way in Canada.
Right. Like I said, I think it's just the will of Curling Canada to want to do this, because they're sticking their necks out there to do this. Let's be very clear about that. I was on a virtual call with a lot of the staff last week. These people are exhausted, Roddy. They've been working around the clock, trying to figure out a way, following all the safety precautions. So what we're learning is that the curlers are going to be in a host hotel across the street from the Mark and McPhail Center at Canada Olympic Park. They're basically going to go from the hotel to the curling rink, back and forth, like you were talking about in the NHL. And I got to cover some of the NHL here in Toronto. That bubble was on lockdown. They had underground tunnels from the Fairmont to the Scotiabank Arena. So you can basically look at the Calgary bubble the same. I think in a lot of ways, it's sort of, you know, curling for so many people is about the fans. It's about community. It's about accessibility. How many people in the cold, dark winter months in Saskatchewan, sit around and watch hour after hour of curling. We can't discount the fact that there are hundreds of thousands of people in this country that rely on curling for company. And I have always said, this might be controversial, but there isn't a better sport to watch on TV than curling. The angles, listening to the players. And so you put together all of these things. Curling is finding a way to pull it off. I know there are a lot of people that are still going, I'll believe it when the first rock is thrown. But everything I'm hearing, this is going to happen. It's going to happen with the Scotties first in late February, then the Brier, then the Mixed Doubles National Championship, then the Men's World Curling Championship, then two Grand Slams. Going to be a lot of coffee drinking and a lot of drama on the pebbled ice.
Oh, I know. And listen, maybe the next time you and I go for coffee, and the last time, incidentally, we did was in Calgary, you can teach me how to watch curling live. Because when the Brier was in Regina, I'm trying to fixate on one game, and all of a sudden, place goes nuts. I'm, what did I miss? And it was three sheets over. Like, it's like playing bingo on 10 different cards, and I can't do it. What's the secret?
Yeah, you don't know where to look. And I hear this from people because they go, how the hell do you live tweet all four games at once? And trust me, I make a lot of typos and it's a mess. It becomes a mess when I'm watching all these games and I mess up the score and people correct me in a hurry. But yeah, I mean, if you get in an arena, there's four sheets playing out. And a lot of people will tell me they'll be watching one game. They'll forget that they're watching another game. You look over, squirrel, 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 and you don't know where you're looking and you're missing all the big shots. So, you know, I've spent more time with curlers than anyone else in my life over the last 3 years. So it's kind of embarrassing, actually, Rod, to admit that I know the sound each professional curler in this country makes when they're screaming, and I know exactly where to look on how close a shot and how important the shot is going to be. So you have to tune your ear. And it's pretty pathetic to admit that my ear is attuned to the greatest curlers in this country.
Well, you spend enough time around it. I get it. It becomes part of you. There's no doubt. Well, Devin, we're following very closely what you're doing. Thank you for the time, sir. Huge fan here, as you know, long time. And let's do it again soon. Maybe we'll bump into you in Calgary.
Yeah, and little known fact, I don't know if Taylor mentioned this to you, but we both graduated from the Regina School of Journalism at the same time. So it's great to be on the show together. It's always great to talk to you, Rod. You know, I'm your biggest fan. And hello to everyone back in the great province of Saskatchewan. Quick confession. Sorry, I'm taking a lot of time. Sorry. I didn't know this. I'm embarrassed to admit this. Did you know that curling is actually Saskatchewan's official sport? That was named in 2001. I didn't know that, Rod. I'm embarrassed. Don't put that out there. I'm embarrassed. 2001, curling, Saskatchewan's official sport. Obviously, that makes sense.
Yeah, we love our curling here. That's not a secret, right? How popular
it is. That's not a secret.
Yeah. All right, Devin. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks.
CBC's Devin Haru joining us from the home of his plants in downtown Toronto. As we bring it back with Taylor Shire here, just a couple more comments from him. That J school over there has cranked out some greats, eh?
Yeah, that was a pretty good class we had. We had a lot of fun in 2010 to 2012, I guess it was.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. I got to ask you this because we're going to bring DuPont in for viewer takeover here in a minute. This hour is going by so fast, I can't believe it. And we didn't even get to our sports update yet. But I saw a guy in Buffalo today, I think it was like in arena announcer at HSBC Arena, saying, why are the World Juniors even trying this? Why are they continuing to try to have this tournament given COVID?
Right.
And I wrote it. I said, some people don't give up so easily. And with Devin's comment there about it, just the will of the curling people to play. You got to get pushed back against the angry mob, Devin, or Taylor, that people think you're irresponsible in a pandemic to try and actually work and play sports. Like, you got to push back. Otherwise, we wouldn't do anything ever.
And sports isn't just a hobby for people. It's their livelihood, right? Curling Canada, that's their full-time job. That's what they want to do. Hockey players, World Junior, Hockey Canada, that's their livelihood, is putting that tournament on the ice. They look forward to that tournament every year. They're going to do what they can to get that tournament going. And they have a rigorous bubble, and they have quarantine for officials. That's 4 weeks just to get into the bubble, right? So they're doing everything they can to try to make it work because that's their livelihood.
It's not
their hobby.
I'm getting to the end of my rope of people saying, why are you trying so hard? Why are you doing this? Because we don't give up like you. You see why I'm getting annoyed.
Yeah.
Because that mob's getting louder.
Yeah. It's not a beer league hockey tournament or whatever.
It's not a pastime. It's an industry, man. Yeah. So, anyways,
it's Taylor, a paycheck, right? It's keeping food on the table
job.
For their families.
Yeah, they should be allowed life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness to
while
pursue a career
safe.
That they want.
While staying safe. So follow the rules. Follow the protocols. Yeah,
that's a given.
Keep
I would
your
think.
Paycheck coming in.
Anything you want to say before we let you go?
No, I appreciate the plug. And if anybody does want to reach out, whether you're an athlete or family, or a scout or a team, feel free to reach out to me. Tell you all about Link Management.
Link Management. Find him on Twitter. Taylor, thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Dupes in next. Viewer takeover and a sports update. You're watching the RP Show, Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. We got a lot of business to get to here. Man, I think this goalie mask looks hot on this desk, doesn't it? Josh Allen threw for 375 yards, tied a career high with four touchdown passes, and the Buffalo Bills stayed in sole possession of first place in the AFC East with a 34-24 victory over the San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football. The Pittsburgh Steelers have finally lost. Meanwhile, the Washington football team erased a 14-3 halftime deficit and beat the Steelers 23-17. Christian McCaffrey is eager to get back on the field Sunday against the Denver Broncos after what has been a frustrating season of injuries. The Panthers running back has been sidelined for 9 games this year with ankle and shoulder injuries, but is hoping to finish out the campaign on a positive note in a strong December. The Seattle Sounders edged Minnesota United 3-2 to advance to the MLS Cup Final. They will take on the Columbus Crew in the MLS Championship. And the RNA says the British Open will be played at Royal Liverpool in 2023 and at Royal Troon in 2024. The tournaments were rescheduled following the cancellation of this year's Open at Royal St. George's because of the COVID-19 pandemic. It was the first time since 1945 that the British Open was canceled. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle all your food and fun needs. Boy, can they. I can attest to that. That Tyson Jones night was like the highlight of the year.
Right.
At the Ballers. Visit their website, ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Ian Bodnarik checking in from Yorkton, joining late. You're just in time, Ian. Can I read some text messages?
Absolutely.
We got Al Cameron coming up from Curling Canada next hour, and I think that's going to be great. And our guy in Vulcan, Alberta, Jack, writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line, Al Cameron did the first ever article about my Life Choice Dynamics player support program. Rod, please say hi to Al for me. We will do that. Life Choice Dynamics setting up players in the CFL for life after football. Great program.
Great stuff.
DG in Saskatoon says, morning, guys. Great news for Canadian sports came down with the announcement that vaccines will start up here next week. On top of that, Health Canada announced they have vaccines secured from 7 companies and more than 358 million doses. Great news for the NHL, junior hockey, curling, the CFL, and U Sports. Sports is coming back like a tidal wave. He wrote that in all caps.
Wow.
So that's from some of our viewers today on top of what's going on. Well, I guess I hope you remember in the summertime, June into July, there was a lot of optimism. We were starting to see that the NFL was coming back. The NHL, we heard, was coming back. And they did. But the CFL never did. The WHL never got off the ground. And the hopes were dashed. Do you think we're going that way again or not? We got 20 seconds.
The hopes are dashed? No, I don't. I hope not. I think good news is good news and reason for positivity.
We're going to continue the party into hour two. Al Cameron from Curling Canada is going to be with us. Join us on Game Plus TV or stay here on Facebook Live. No laughing on the sponsor's couch. This is the media. We're not supposed to have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.